This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Place kickers, defensive linemen, linebackers, all of that is going on today as those guys will work out at the combine. But there is a guy who will not be working out, and he could. He could be the first overall pick. I say that because the quarterbacks usually go, but there is a chance Abdul Carter could be the first overall pick. But, Mike, we find out today there's a little bit more to Abdul Carter's situation than we anticipated. And doctors have advised him not to have surgery on his stress fracture that is in his right foot. They say that he will do a pro day. His agent, Drew Rosenhaus, says, yeah, he's going to do his pro day, but there's nothing to see here.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't take him.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, see, your stock was here, and then you talk about a stress fracture, and now your stock is down here. You just went from being the next Micah Parsons, now you're Greg Oden. So I'm going to, hey, it is what it is.
You know, I almost died on a plane with Greg Oden.
Sitting next to him, leaving Vegas with those Santa Ana winds.
Yes, no disrespect, but you're right. I mean, this is exactly where he was, and now you're going to tell me teams are concerned. And by the way, if the Falcons were even thinking about trying to make a move to get into the top three, and I don't know if they are, Mike, can't take him. Can't take him.
I mean, surgery initially not ruled out, and then they look at it again and say, maybe not being advised. So what? So you're not going to have the surgery? You're going to have it's almost like you better just do it, you know, and get it over with. But now you're going to what? So you're going to go to your first mini camp and go, okay, we're going to lose you for the season, like Dante Fowler, remember that year with the Jaguars?
Yes.
Remember he blew his knee out first week? So, I don't know. I mean, look, I feel for the young man. It sucks. But, I mean, this is why, you know, they do the combine. So, you buyer beware. You can check under the hood.
Yeah, and by the way, for many of you, it's not a red flag now. It's a red flag for me later. You're an edge rusher. Your get off, your push, your power, all of the things that we talk about. And now I've got to be concerned down the road, Mike, with maybe feet issues.
Right.
That's a concern. And so maybe Abdul Carter turns into, I don't know, the best pass rusher in the history of the NFL. But as he starts his career, this is something that you've got to look at. And again, maybe he has a really good first couple of years, and then you want to cut him that big check, Mike, for a second deal.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, these issues start to pop up. You just don't know when you start talking about feet, man.
Well, I mean, like, think about Myles Garrett. He's already a Pro Bowler. I mean, Pro Bowler's already a Hall of Famer. And then Myles Garrett had issues with his feet that apparently have been something he's dealt with much of his career. We just didn't know about it until this last season. So, you know, the agony of defeat, we know it can wreck some careers. So, as you said, Drew Rosenhaus is going to say, oh, no, I know two teams that are really in on him. Yes, of course, Drew. How do you know Drew Rosenhaus is lying? His lips are moving.
No doubt. 404-726-0929. This is one of the storylines that we're following. So he's not going to work out, but we knew that already. He wasn't. And now you have to deal with this, which is a stress fracture in his right foot. Meanwhile, we find out today that Travis Hunter had his first meetings, and he said, they've been interviewing me as a wide receiver. What are you doing? Where are you playing this guy if you draft him?
I think like everybody else who says it, yes, you want to say he's going to play 80 plays again. No, he's not going to play 80 plays again. He's going to play, he's going to be your starting corner, your shutdown corner, and then you're going to slowly spoon feed, work him into your offensive play calling.
I agree.
And then, you know, he might be at some point, if you want to say you can project him to your number three or your number two wide receiver, okay. You want to use him for punt returns? Yeah. Guy's a superstar athlete. But I think you look at how his dad was used. I mean, but he's even better at wide receiver than his father ever was. You know, his dad wished he was that good at wide receiver.
Yeah, you're talking about Deion?
Yeah, when Deion, because they would use Deion on both sides of the ball for a while.
Yeah, it's not his dad. You're talking about his coach.
I'm not Shedeur Sanders. That's Shedeur Sanders' father. Travis Hunter's coach is
Deion
Sanders.
Gotcha. Yeah, because he had, 1,200 yards, 15 touchdowns last year, 96 passes, 96 balls or whatever. But I don't think you can do that in the NFL. I agree with you. I think you have packages and whatnot. Mike, he is a guy that affects the defense and can help your defense. I mean, immediately. Right. But he says they're interviewing him. He's got a great attitude, man. You guys know. He's from the A. I mean, he's from here. But this kid is going to be a star in the NFL. But I'm curious to see. And, you know, they're asking all these general managers, hey, what are you going to do? What position are you going to play him at? And he's now being asked that question. So the Browns, by the way, second overall pick, ooh, consider him. They say he is a receiver. That's what they're seeing him as.
Okay. I mean, like I said, he can do it all. But, I mean, corners, shutdown corners are harder to find than starting wide receivers.
I'm with you.
I mean, to me, he's a starting corner. And as we said, it's just a matter of how imaginative the offense he goes to and how open-minded the coaching staff is, because some guys won't, some guys will. You know, but I think that everybody out there is going to have some idea about not necessarily a pitch count, but a number in their mind. But if this guy shows he's got the can handle the wear and tear and do it, then maybe he can be that next Chuck Bednarik who played every play on both sides of the football for the Philadelphia Eagles in 1960 in the championship.
You guys can find us. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes in the radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. We're talking about the combine because it is what's going on, guys. And today, we've got official workouts starting. So, again, some of the top guys, again, not working out. And it's funny, we had a guest on yesterday, said, who really works out at the combine now? Guys go for the interviews,
right,
and then they want to show their best, or at least put their best foot forward on their pro days. We're seeing more and more of this, but, you know, there are guys who will work out, and we're curious to watch these edge rushers, Mike, because that's what we're really interested in.
Right. I mean, and even I never thought when you and I would be talking about the draft, we'd be saying, I'm interested in the kickers on kicker day. I mean, look, if I could find somebody that's reliable and cheaper than Younghoe Koo, forget about it. I mean, look, I mean, we know that there's a number of contributing factors why we lost some of these games this year, but I can point to a couple of contributing factors. Those are missed kicks against the Saints and Chargers. But, yeah, I would love to try to upgrade for Koo, and that's just common business sense for the NFL. Save some money. Find your next kicker for hopefully 5 or 6 years or more. But I'm with you on the guys who need to prove something will be at the combine. Guys, their tape speaks for itself. The guy like yesterday, we mentioned Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers needs to throw and show how he stacks up against the other guys.
Yeah, I agree with that. As far as the edge guys, you know, maybe this Abdul Carter injury, and he wasn't going to work out anyway, but maybe this puts a little bit more of a magnifying glass, Mike, on Michael Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he is, in fact, the number two guy on the board, right, that means somebody's going to probably pass on him and take Carter instead, and maybe Michael Williams ends up being the steal, or Mike Green, or maybe even a Jalen Walker.
Right.
But the reality is, guys, one of these guys is going to be there for us. We pick 15th. There are not going to be four edge rushers taken off the board by the time we pick, okay? There'll be multiple quarterbacks. There'll be some corners. There'll be some offensive linemen taken because, again, there's some really good offensive linemen in this draft.
Dolphins are in front of us. They need some offensive line help. There's a number of teams also that, you know, got to get the O-line beefed up. The Cowboys could very easily go offensive line too.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And that's why, so when we talk about, all right, 2 through 5, however you have them stacked up, one of these guys, maybe two of them, will be there if we stay at 15. So I'm curious to see what these guys do now that this Carter situation is playing out. And it's funny because the guy just hit me up. They're already saying Carter's deal is not a big deal. Okay. If you're a general manager, you put your job on it.
Hey, thanks for the input there, Dr. Scholes.
Yeah.
You draft him.
Yeah, exactly. I hear you. Teams are always going to say they're not worried because it's leverage. You don't want to say, there's no way we're taking Abdul Carter. You're not going to say that. What you say is, oh, he's a great prospect, and we absolutely are interested in him. And behind closed doors, you go, we're not taking him. That's what happens.
Exactly. And this guy's, I just wonder, as people, nowadays, some people are so literal. Maybe the social media is people, they believe everything they hear. It's all gamesmanship. It's a poker game, guys. It's like talking, we're going to get into it today about the Falcons. How much is bluff? How much is real? You know, with their posturing about Kirk Cousins and their intentions with him on the roster. I just, so many people, they come to us on social media. Well, he said, people lie all the freaking time.
No.
I mean, and the NFL is a giant, this is a giant poker game and all about misinformation.
All right, we got a lot to chop up today, and it's interesting because, again, and the NFL's made this such a spectacle, Mike. It's funny. I was talking to a buddy of mine. He's up there, and he was like, man, you remember the first time we came up here? It was nobody, like media-wise, right. There was nobody there. Like, literally, it was who are you and why are you here? Because there was literally no media. Now it's become a media spectacle. The fans are allowed to be there. And, of course, that's been going on for some time now. But, man, this is crazy. And I'm not going to be surprised, Mike, at some point. They've been talking about it. But you know how they move the draft around? At some point, they're going to start moving this event around. I know it's been an indie for years.
Right. Easy to fly.
Correct.
Atlanta, by the way, nowhere is easier in America to get to than Atlanta. And to just do it at Mercedes-Benz, so you and I could just walk on down there and watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
But that makes a lot of sense. That's the next sort of iteration or the logical progression, I should say, for the NFL.
No, I agree. And you know, different cities will get it just like the draft. This year, the draft is in Green Bay. Who would have ever thought the NFL draft would be in Green Bay?
Right. But that place, now, I haven't been there since they redid the place and the museum and the whole shebang, but it's impressive and it'll be a lot of fun. They'll turn it like they always do into an event. But as we always say here in Atlanta, you know, teams that don't get Super Bowls, they generally seem to get more of those events. Although Las Vegas, of course, had it. Las Vegas had a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I just know how good the combine would look on TV with the backdrop of the Atlanta skyline right down by the College Football Hall of Fame and the aquarium down there, right in the corner of Centennial Olympic Park. It would be perfect.
I agree. It would be. So eventually, that's going to happen. But the point is, it's become a big deal, and everybody's paying attention to it. Many folks will say, well, these guys are just walking around in shorts and they're running around. Do we know anything more about them? Well, look, this is one element, and I'm going to repeat this, one element of the makeup of any of these players. It doesn't mean that they are, if they have a great combine, they're the next best thing since sliced bread, but it helps. And then, Mike, you talk to people, their coaches, and their...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Players around them, and you watch the film, and then you look at how they played against competition. All this stuff adds up, and then you put an evaluation together. But you just don't go to the combine, guys, and the Falcons can come home and go, oh, there's no doubt, Walter Nolan, Ole Miss, that's our guy. He had a great combine.
Right. Well, I mean, this is why all these names, there's a bunch of names that have been sort of floating around the last couple of weeks since the Super Bowl ended, and you're like, okay, you've done your own mock drafts if you're a nerd like me, and you're trying to find out these valuations. This is where we start to see things stabilize. Okay, now you know who's where he's supposed to be. I just think the bad news for the Falcons is Mykal Williams and Jalen Walker are gone. That we won't get a shot at those guys. I mean, that's based on some of the mock drafts that we've seen from NFL Network, and if they continue to, you know, do what all Georgia players tend to do at the combine, which is show out.
I'm still concerned, and it's a different concern. It's not about him being able to play. It's just about how you use him. And, you know, if Jalen Walker's being, you know, comped to Micah Parsons, that's right. A hell of a comp. It just is. Like that. If that's the case, then why are teams not going to take him at the top
right.
of this draft?
No, I'm with
if you knew you were getting that, you would take him number one overall.
I mean, like, I wish we were picking higher. I mean, it's just unfortunately, you know, we don't dedicate our earlier picks in this franchise, you know, under this general manager to defense. And that's fine. But now you are going to maybe be on the cusp of these guys. And then if you missed the show yesterday, we talked about, you know, these are both players that maybe just do everything really well. But are they elite pass rushers? Are they going to be hand in the dirt,
yeah.
you know, pass rushers, which is what we need?
That's my concern. I think he's good at a lot of things. I don't think he's great at just coming off the edge
right.
and getting sacks. That's my concern about him. But if he is that, I think a lot of teams would have him at the top of the list.
But you're also going to you know, the thing is, an NFL coach, defensive coach, may use him completely different than Kirby and Schumann did
sure.
in Georgia.
You're right.
To maximize the talent.
NFL, by the way, does set the salary cap. It is $279 million per team. It is a record, if you're wondering, but that's every time they reset the cap. But it's in between those numbers we talked about, Mike, and that was, you know, 278 to 282. Bottom line is it's a $23 million increase, $23.8 million. Last year's cap was $255 million. So the good news is everybody's got a little bit more money to play with, some more than others. But you see the growth of the NFL and how it's grown, not only since the like mid-90s, even since the mid-2000s, and the numbers have increased every single year. What does it mean for us? We still don't know because they still have to clear up some cap space by restructuring
right.
some guys.
They said they budgeted for Kirk, but still, that's going to come off the books at some point. I mean, we're going to take the hit, I should say. He's coming off the books.
At some point. Yeah. All right, man, we're coming back. Daily downloads on the way. They shot lights out after being shut down just a few nights before. We'll get into that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. We are following this story, guys. Oscar winner Gene Hackman and his wife and their dog found dead today in Santa Fe, New Mexico, which is where he lived. 95 years old, lived a great life. Mike, we talk about Gene Hackman and his roles all the time. One of, if not the best actors ever. And we're not sure about all the details of this, but you know, the lines and some of the roles he played are legendary. And Mike just mentioned, you know, the Hoosiers role and Mike, my coaches, I remember my coaches in high school quoted Hoosiers came out in the '80s, guys.
Right.
My coach is quoting the line from Hackman talking about don't get caught up in thinking about winning or losing the game. If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential and being the best you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. Like, that is, it sounds cliche now, but, it, you know, he was playing, obviously, Norman Dale in Hoosiers, but found dead today at the age of 95, and everybody's wondering if there was foul play here. there is an investigation ongoing.
Yeah, because I think like a lot of folks, when you heard that both the his wife, who's 63, much younger than he is, and the dog passed, you thought maybe it was a sort of gas leak or something like that. Now you're finding out more information. USA Today reporting that they found some pills. And so I don't want to jump to conclusions, but that's what law enforcement has leaked to the media, as they're at the home, and they apparently had been dead for a while, which is sad. But it, again, the legacy of Gene speaks for itself. And, you know, from the French, I think French Connection, you know, and I mean, I put on Twitter today, from Popeye Doyle to Lex Luthor to the Royal. I love the Royal Tenenbaums. I know Wes Anderson isn't everybody's cup of tea, but that his performance in that is still one of my faves. You and I were talking off the air, Crimson Tide, Mississippi Burning, you name it. I mean, everything. He was in, he was great.
Yeah. One of my favorite roles is in Unforgiven.
Right.
One of the best Westerns, one of the best movies, Clint Eastwood movie. It's great. Morgan Freeman, if you've never seen it.
Little Bill.
It was awesome. So, obviously, we'll hear more as the investigation goes on, but Gene Hackman was a giant in the industry. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Oren is here with us behind the glass, our engineer, of course, Turtle, our executive producer. We got a lot to get to today, and we started the show talking about Abdul Carter's injury. It's interesting. Sometimes, guys, it's not about whether a guy can play. You believe in his talent. It's more about whether the medicals tell you, is this going to be a problem down the road? And right now, even though everybody's saying, oh, it's not a big deal, I don't know if anybody truly knows, but he came out, he's not going to work out. His agent's Drew Rosenhaus, and again, he said he's going to work out at his pro day, but he's being advised against surgery. And that, to me, is interesting, because you said it. Get the surgery, you're out, you know, 8 weeks or so. Where does that put you? Okay, you get drafted. Are you going to be ready for rookie camp, rookie mini camp, or whatever? Probably, Mike, but even if not, you're certainly ready for training camp.
You would think that you'd rather want to let everyone know that you're 100%. You know that you and why you didn't do this sooner. Now again, if you do it sooner, you miss out on the on potentially being drafted in the top five. I get it. Some teams will get cold feet, despite what they say. But you would think you would assuage some of that anguish about picking you at the top three by getting that surgery, knowing that it's ready to you're ready to roll. So I mean, presume the that the surgery goes well. I mean, think of like Grant Hill, right? Sometimes they don't get the surgery right when it comes to the foot, but in the case of this guy's upside, he's certainly going to be in the top. What do you think? Where do you think it drops now? Top 10, top 15?
I think he's still top 10.
Still top 10.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's still, unless there's something else to this or to your point, like, okay, there's more information here that we're not aware of. But just the information coming out alone, again, you're talking about feet on a guy that's going to need get off and push off.
Big dude.
And a big guy. That's, you know, you wonder about how that moves or makes a difference down the road. We're going to continue to talk about the combine and talk about Malachi Starks, who is the top safety prospect in this draft for the Dogs. As I said, I think three Dogs for sure go in the first round, but there may be up to five, depending on how teams view some of these players. 404-726-0929. You can text us always. We'd love to hear from you. Right now, let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
Well, after holding them to a record low 7 3-pointers two nights ago, Hawks get blown out last night, 131-109. The irony, Mike, is this game was tied at halftime, and it was like, all right, anybody's ball game.
Wow.
And then the Heat came out and blew doors in the second half and knocked down 23 three-pointers to extend their lead, and the Hawks could never really catch them because they got cold, the Heat got hot. And as a matter of fact, this was one of those crazy games. Chris was talking about, you know, the defense two nights ago. What was it? Three nights ago, I guess, Sunday when they gave up all those points to Detroit. This was not that. This was a team that just got hot in the second half, and you had no answers.
Well, Chris, and we get on Chris sometimes, you're being, well, it's had glass half empty. But Chris did say there's no way that the Heat were going to shoot 17.5 from three as they did on Monday night at State Farm. And boy, did they not ever. 54.8 from three, 23 of 42, which is damn near impossible.
Trae Young, listen, nobody really had a great game. Trae 17, Dyson Daniels had 18. He had another really good night, a bunch of steals as well, as he continues to lead the way in the charge towards Defensive Player of the Year. But let me hear Trae, this is when it was close, guys. This is in the third quarter, and you're like, okay, this could go any way. And then in the fourth quarter, Miami exploded.
Hawks have it with Trae Young in the backcourt. Now he gets the pick. He goes up and gets around it. Trae way out there on the left wing. Now behind the pick. Straight away three by Trae. It's good. Trae Young knocks down a three-pointer. And the Hawks lead 82-79. For Trey, that's his 161st of the year.
Yeah.
And that was good at that point.
It was. And then, and then it wasn't.
And then bad stuff started to happen.
Tyler Hero, 24 for the Heat. Also off the bench, man. Duncan Robinson was a beast last night. So they will turn the page, Mike, and see what happens tomorrow as Oklahoma City comes into town.
I know we've said this a few times already, but, you know, you mentioned it. Caris LeVert, Terrence Mann, they're going consistently like 30, 35. They're getting your consistent bench scoring. So if this is going to be what it looks like next year with a healthy, healthy Jalen Johnson and some of that money going towards, I don't know, whatever they think that's going to fix the team, this is all of a sudden, and Reece Hoshea, like, now Reece Hoshea had a bad night the other night, but I think he's having more better nights than bad nights in his rookie season.
I'm with you. And what you're saying, I think, is it looks promising.
Right.
If you are to,
well, I mean, I just want to know how they're going to spend this money. I want to know what they're going to spend it on. You know, you and I have covered it. I mean, you're going to go for a big guy? You're going to go for a wing? I mean, what are we doing here? To really get, I mean, I think you just try to find that ultimate pick and roll machine for Trey.
I do too. I really do. Hawks back in action tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pre-game's at 7, tips at 7:30. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
We just mentioned top safety prospect Malachi Starks.
Right.
The ball, though, for a lot of these dogs in this draft is in their court, and I mean that. For Mikael Williams, what does he have to prove, Mike, at the combine? Does he really have to prove anything? And he talked about the fact that he was dealing with this ankle injury all season long. Some people say, all right, that shows toughness. Other people say, okay, well, is he better than what we're even perceiving him to be? This is what he said about it.
Because, you know, I played injured this whole year, so coming off my ankle, I decided to take the first 2-3 weeks to rest my ankle and try to get it back up under me. So that pushed my delayed my training. So I got a late jump, so that's why I'm going pro instead of combine. Yeah, it lingered the whole year. I never was healthy. I actually re-injured it multiple times throughout the year. I didn't practice until Texas game. I was messed up pretty bad.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, we knew that. We talked about, you know, the defensive line that was messed up. You know, Mikael Williams, Starks. Now that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody, obviously Kirby and Schumann and all those folks knew, but I don't know if fans knew how bad this ankle was for him. And I know we were critical, Mike, pretty much all year of the defense because we kept saying, this ain't that defense. It's not the one from 2 years ago. Some of these guys are not living up to it.
Right.
But to me, this makes a lot of sense as to why maybe he didn't have that dominant season that we thought he would.
Now, he may go sooner, but I've seen a couple of mock drafts. And doesn't Malachi Starks seem like the perfect player for the Baltimore Ravens?
Absolutely.
I mean, just fits that style of play and his athleticism and his toughness and being a leader, everything that we seem to look for. So maybe he doesn't. That would be the 27th pick overall. Maybe he goes sooner than that.
Yeah. It's funny because Kyle Hamilton plays, I think, for the Baltimore Ravens, and he was asked about his top five safeties in the NFL. He was like, Kyle Hamilton. Well,
there you go.
That's a team that you could be playing for. He mentioned Buda Baker and Xavier McKinney. All these guys are really good. Javon Bullard. But Starks has shown that he's got playmaking ability as well. I am curious, Mike, to see where he ends up. But I don't think he goes until late in the first. I think he's going to go later in the first round. Right. We'll see how that all shakes out. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9, the guys' game, that is, as we go through our daily download, which is brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. And coming up on the show, by the way, a little bit later on, we're going to continue to talk about the combine with our buddies from WSB. Zach Klein's going to join us, WSB sports director, and our buddy D. Led. They've both been up there all week, so we're going to pick their brains a little bit about what's been happening and specifically about the Falcons. Mike, it felt like, I don't know about you, I saw the Falcons, you know, whether it was Terry or Raheem, kind of doing all the rounds. They didn't hide. They've talked to a lot of people while they've been up there.
No, as one of our listeners said on the text line yesterday, I mean, they certainly know how to spin it. You know, so look, they're there to present their message. Everybody else, it's like being in political office. All these coaches, all these general managers know how to get their message. Whatever you want to ask, you ask the question, they're going to throw it in a blender, and you're going to get the answer they want. And that's kind of how this went. Some tough questions about Kirk Cousins, the weirdness of the he said, she said with the injury. What are you going to do with a guy that's a lame duck who's making all that money? So, you know, they try to present it as best they can, and we'll see if D-Led has any answers. Because he was Mike Wallace all over Kirk Cousins in the Crescent City.
No doubt. Speaking of Cousins, what's real and what's not when it comes to Cousins remaining on this team next season? We're going to give you the real next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, Terry Fontenot, you know who he is, said keeping Cousins on the roster as Penix number two is still the plan. That's what he said this week.
Uh-huh.
Despite how much money is owed to the quarterback, who signed a $90 million guaranteed deal with the Falcons last season. So the money has already been allocated, which is what we've heard, which is what Turtle tried to convince us of months ago, and he's like, it's no big deal. But Fontenot said, we understand that it's not ideal to have the quarterback at that cap number this week at the combine.
Yes. I mean, in other words, a guy sitting there on the bench earning $45 million.
Makes no sense. That's just not smart. All right, in the NFL. So he says, now, when we gave him that contract, the expectation was for him to be the starter at this point. And so that is a good number for a starting quarterback. He's right, but not as a backup. This is Terry Fontenot. So he says, when we, when we say we're comfortable, Mike, quote, comfortable, we're talking about the total funds allocated to the quarterback position. And that's already been baked in. Do you believe that?
Well, I mean, so this was the season that you were going to do what in free agency? I mean, were you going to go after some big ticket items? I mean, I don't know.
I would hope.
I mean, okay. I mean, you've got, if you've already budgeted the quarterback position, I mean, technically, yes, this is not how they expected it to be. I mean, that's not a lie being told, but it's just, it's an untenable situation for the obvious reasons, guys. They're not going to have a guy who made the coach and general manager look like idiots in that building. I mean, I can't see that. I think they would say, you know, now veterans don't have to be at many of those mini camps. They have one that's mandatory, but you know what I mean. I just don't think it'll be anywhere within a mile of Flowery Branch, you know? But getting back to what you said, okay, so how are we going to allocate that money? How are you going to spend it? We did get a nice bump thanks to the NFL, everybody making loot hand over fist, so we got a little bit more money than we expected. So, I mean, are you going to, and do you look at anything from the past and say that's going to scare you off? I don't think that should be the way you operate. I think you rolled the dice with Judon, it didn't work. We've rolled the dice with a lot of defensive free agents. Historically, it just haven't worked. But still, there's some really good players out there that would fit what we need, whether it's defensive tackle or edge rush right now. Or corner.
We understand that it's not ideal to have a quarterback at that cap number. When we gave him the contract, we expected him to be the starter at this point. It's a good number for a starting quarterback, but not as a backup.
No.
When he says that, that's all you need to hear.
Right.
When he says, but not as the backup, that's the statement, and that's why I believe he's not going to be here, because it's just not smart. And by the way, how does it make the general manager, Mike, look when you got that guy on the bench, whether we're winning games or not, and you're the owner going, what is that guy doing here?
I just think you've created, and we'll talk more about it with D. Led, because we said D was all over it. I mean, thanks to D for spotting Kirk Cousins at this nonprofit event that
he didn't want to talk to me, Mike.
And then, despicably, Kirk put a shirt over the Falcon colors. Carl, you know, these colors don't run, and you don't cover those colors up. So the fact that, you know, he said what he said to try to improve his, you know, potential stock with other teams around the league. You know, there's a bunch of guys that are going to be floating out there. Aaron Rodgers, you know, Kirk Cousins, perhaps both Purdy and Sam Darnold. We'll find out. Someone's going to get signed. But it will be very interesting to see whose plan C Kirk Cousins would become.
All right. What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. Listen, there's the real, and then there's sort of the bluff.
Right.
And the real is when Fontenot says, it was a great contract as a starter, but not as a backup. Yeah. That's the real.
Yeah. Just like you wouldn't have a guy making $20 million be a backup offensive line or lineman or defensive lineman. It makes no sense. No. He's got to be on the field.
He's got those guys play. And if you're paying guys to play that with that amount, they got to play. All right. As we talk about that, because, again, it's just looming. It's not anything that I think changes, Mike, their approach to the draft,
right,
or any of that kind of stuff. But it's just out there, and it's looming. And then today when we get the final cap numbers, you kind of go, okay, how does this help us? How does it hurt us? Again, we still don't know. But, man, now you go, I wish we had a little bit of that. Right?
Yes.
I wish we had a little
bit of
that.
And we said it to start the program. I just think, you know, a lot of you guys got to really kind of, I don't know, work on your inner BS filter, okay? I mean, some of you guys, I would really love to do some land deals with you, because you guys really do buy a lot of this stuff that everyone, if any authority figure sells it to you, you go, okay. I'm just saying, like, not saying they're bold-faced liars. I'm just saying they're trying to manipulate the situation to their advantage, as is any other general manager in the league.
Yeah, that's all they're trying to do. And listen, I don't fault Terry for that. And by the way, you know, going into this draft, what do you give him, by the way, as a general manager? If you just had to grade him as a general manager.
C-.
C-?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not Raheem. Okay, that's the coach on the field.
Right.
We're talking about just from a general manager standpoint, moves that have been made, free agent opportunities and attempts to bring in guys.
Right.
Hit or miss, drafts. See?
Yeah, I mean, we have high hopes for Penix. We like Bijan. You know, philosophically, some teams wouldn't have drafted Bijan. We know what we have with Bijan. You know, we just need him to take us to the Super Bowl, you know, that at some point in his career. No pressure. But, I mean.
Well, just like Saquon just did.
Right.
Seriously. But, I mean, Saquon literally took the Eagles to the Super Bowl.
To me, like, Drake London is a can't miss. You know, he just needs to get the right delivery system, and I think he's going to have it. We see what he is. He's a leader on that team. He's tough. He does everything you ask of him. You know, Pitts is, you know, we've covered Pitts. I don't have to get down, go down that road. But between Pitts and the second round reaches.
Let's talk about Pitts.
No, but between Pitts and the second round defensive draft reaches that I don't vibe. That to me, that's a C minus. I'm being generous. I could give him a D.
Okay, that's why I'm asking. What do you give him, Oren? What do you give him, Chris? What do you give the general manager right now? And the reason why is that should change after this draft and free agent period, right? It should be better as we move forward. What do you give him?
Are we going to grade him after the free agency period? Or are we going to grade him after the season? If these free agents, they pan out.
No. We would grade him after.
Right.
Yes.
But right now.
Because I would give him a higher grade before Judon and Simmons played than after because of the fact he got them. But if we're banking on it right now, I mean, I give him like probably a C minus or a D plus.
Chris?
I think you have to take into account that there have been some real hits in free agency. So you have to be fair in that regard.
Like Jesse Bates.
But the draft has just been,
That's where you build.
I don't want to say disaster. I think that might be a little melodramatic. But to give
From
him anything,
you?
Yeah, to give him anything higher than a C,
I'm surprised. I'm surprised you can give him an F.
I mean, you took a position player at the highest that position player has ever been taken.
Right.
And that guy didn't get his fifth year option picked up. All right, yeah, he didn't get extended. So
he didn't get extended. Yes.
This will be his fifth.
The option picked up, he didn't get extended.
You're right, because in the fourth year of Kyle Pitts, if he was a player, I mean, they would be trying to extend him.
We've always said we give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt with the cap situation he inherited. They had to make, you know, basically lemonade out of, you know, lemons with the defense. And Dean Pease, you know, did a nice job there. But also on Terry's watch is that whole Deshaun Watson fiasco. We got in the mix for Deshaun Watson. You had to basically move Matt Ryan out a year ahead of schedule. That's on his watch. So, I mean, that's why I'd say I'm being generous with a C minus. Now, you know, come to think of it now, D.
Why are you bringing up old stuff?
Because as you asked, there are one,
I totally forgot about
two,
that.
Three, four
Even
years.
Though it didn't happen.
Now, look, and again,
here's the thing.
It's cumulative, Carl. It has to be cumulative.
No, he's right. Mike's not lying about this. And this is why we're asking you, all right?
And nobody wants to remember that. It happened, whether it came from Arthur Blank, just like Pitts. Look, if the coach says you got to have Pitts, as the general manager, you say, Arthur, I don't want to get up to a rocky start as our partnership as coach and manager. I'm not drafting Kyle Pitts.
He didn't say that.
You know?
Because that guy had a plan for his offense. He was not going to balk it. Hey, let's put a poll question up, Chris. What's your grade right now? We got another offseason in front of us that hasn't happened yet. It's in the process, but right now, and again, this isn't about wins and losses. Mm-hmm. Don't look at that. We're talking about what Terry has attempted to do, what he's done.
Right.
And here's the deal about what Mike's saying, because some of you are going to be like, well, that didn't happen. We didn't get Deshaun Watson. Thank God. We didn't, and thank God. But the process had a domino effect on our franchise.
Right. I mean, look, I don't know. Do we go to the playoffs in 2022 with Matt Ryan as opposed to Marcus Mariota? I can tell you this. As bad as Matt looked in Indianapolis, he could have looked no worse than Marcus Mariota in missing open receivers when the protection was available. I mean, I think Drake London might have been a 1,000-yard receiver. Who knows? Pitts might have gone. Well, Pitts got injured. That's another thing. That's another part of this. Pitt got hurt.
No, he did. But let's be honest. At that point, and we know he went to Indy and fell off, and hopefully, you know, I don't know what was going on there, but I still feel like Matt was a better option than any of the guys that we bought
Matt Ryan is better than Marcus Mariota on any planet, at any stage of his career.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Terry, in his years here, 2021 was his first year, 7-10. Next year, 7-10. Next year, 7-10. Next year, 8-9.
You don't blame the coach?
Well, two different coaches. So at some point, what's the commonality there, Carl?
What about the coach?
The first coach is gone.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, the commonality is both coaches don't understand clock management.
Well, that's one, yes.
That might be true.
Like they should. I don't deal in absolutes. Like they need to be better at that.
Well, yes, you're right. Okay.
I mean, they're three games better in that 2020 season being 4-12 than they were the next season. But you mean to tell me in the year since that first season of Terry Fontenot, they've only gotten one game better? They've improved one win in those years from Terry Fontenot, first year to now.
You know what I can tell? I can tell that Oren and Chris are sitting in there, and Oren is just taking the vibes from Chris because he's on one. I mean, Oren is just taking whatever Chris is giving, and he's just running with it
too. Chris is the emperor.
Let the hate flow through you.
Right. Exactly. But no, I'm the Padawan over here.
But honestly, Oren, I mean, when you come to the dark side with me and Chris, I mean, Fontenot hasn't done anything that would even, I mean, remotely want to. I mean, you know me. Yes, I would fire a lot of guys if they're not doing the job. If guys are doing the job, see, this is the argument I get into. Somebody often would listen. Oh, Mike, you fire everybody. If they're doing their job, they get to keep their job. It's kind of what's going on with the federal government in some circles, say, in our lane. But, I mean, if you're doing your job, you get to keep it. If you're not, it doesn't become like, well, we'll just roll it over again. We haven't been to the playoffs in four seasons. Now it's year five.
404-726-0929. What's your grade? What do you think right now?
Right. Well, I'm not saying 7 years because that's not on his watch.
No, he's got four years
on his watch, but if you take it back to seven, now we're going, this will be year eight without the playoffs all the way back to 2017.
Now, I'll tell you why we're talking about this. And, you know, we were talking about the cousin situation, which led us here, and we're talking about what's real and what's a bluff. And when Terry Fontenot says, yeah, it's a good starting, you know, it's a good contract for a starter, talking about the money they owe Kirk Cousins, but not as a backup. And I said, that's the statement. Because what they're telling you is there's no reason for us to have him on the roster as a backup, paying him that money. Right. And every time we stare at him and look at him, it reminds you of that. So now the reason why this is important is because this is his time. We're not in season. This isn't about game adjustments. This isn't about who's starting on the 53-man roster each and every Sunday. That's Raheem. This is his time now to make the adjustments, Mike, to make the roster better and to improve it. That's his job. Mm-hmm. This is Terry's opportunity, and that's what we're asking you. So we got the poll question up at Dukes and Bell 929. So you guys, everybody around the room, I'm looking. C minus is what everybody's
looking. So what's your grade?
Huh?
What's your grade, tough guy?
Me?
Yes, Mr. Principal. Asking the teachers to grade on a curve?
I'm going to give him a little bit more leeway.
She's a happy substitute over there, Carl.
Than you guys are. Yeah. All right,
Mr. Dukes is here. We're going to play grab ass this period. Substitute teacher.
No, to watch a movie the whole time.
Yes, bring the film projector in, all right? Bring the VCR, whatever the hell you want to bring in. Let's watch
this
movie.
Driver's Ed, and now Blood Runs Red on the Highway.
Hey, all right. As long as you guys don't fall asleep in here and you're here, I'm okay. I'm going to be a little bit more lenient. Here's the thing, and you talked about the Judon. You said you judge him differently. What if we didn't do anything? You'd feel even worse, or you'd be even more PO'd at him because you would have felt like he didn't try to address edge rush, which he did, and safety, which we needed help with.
Right.
It's not his fault that those dudes ended up not being as good as we thought they were.
Right.
His attempt alone tells you, hey, I am willing to roll the dice, and because of that, I'm going to be a little bit more lenient than you.
But the other reason, and by the way, I switched it to D. I voted D. No, I did. I'm kidding.
How is it going down as we speak about this?
Here's the positives. Yes, when he's drafted, other than Pitts, offensive pieces are these. The track is good. Obviously, Bijan, he's a Pro Bowler. Drake's like a 1,000-yard receiver.
By the way, Bergeron is on his watch.
I was just going to say offensive line depth, including the drafting of Bergeron, and offensive line is great. But
that's a B, isn't it?
Right. But, and I'm only going to say this once because I'm going on vacation tomorrow. Drafting a quarterback after signing a quarterback is still the dumbest thing any general manager's ever done in the history of the NFL. And that's why he gets a C minus.
Oh, geez.
And you're talking only one side of the football, Carl.
Huh?
What is he drafted on the other side of the football?
I am being a little bit more lenient than you guys.
AJ Terrell and who else?
You know what? You guys are going hard right now in the paint. But all three of you are just going in on this guy.
I see Terry's draft on defense. Hold on. Two letters. IR.
There you go. Yeah, football is a three-phases game, Carl. The offense is great.
Yes. We've got more guys in traction, more guys rehabbing than any other defensive core in the NFL.
Wait, Carl, isn't it also Terry Fontenot's job to do the homework and scout as to why New England was ready to get Matthew Judon out of there, send him on a bus packing for a third-round pick, a guy who gets 12 sacks a year?
No, let me say this. You listen to your scouting department, which that's their job, and you say, is it worth what we're about to give up? I'm telling you, everybody in the scouting department said we should. That's not Terry. Terry's not sitting there looking at film every day and going, this is the guy, how we should evaluate him. He knows who Judon is, but he's trusting his people to say, is it worth what we're about to give up? Everybody in the room signed off on it.
Right.
I'll give you another example.
But he's the leader of the room.
Yeah. Yes, but I'll give you another example.
But I don't disagree with you, Carl. I mean, they rolled the dice with Judon. It just didn't work.
It didn't work.
And all signs pointed to Judon. You know, he's ticked off at the Patriots. Even if he only here 1 year, he's motivated. It's basically a contract year. It just didn't work.
Yeah. And Chris, Hassan Reddick.
Right.
Did Joe Douglas get taken to the woodshed? Joe Douglas has an amazing history of working with the Eagles and a guy named Howie Roseman before he took that job. He's not an idiot. But yet they still made the deal. Sometimes your scouting department says it's worth taking a chance, and you do it, and it doesn't work. But they took on that.
They can afford to miss, though, Carl. Right. Because
the Jets?
Oh, not the Jets, the Eagles. I'm sorry, yes.
Well, the Jets, but I'm talking about when Joe Douglas was the GM of the Jets.
But one thing, and I know we got to get a break. We'll get to a fourth and one, and we'll talk more about this because a lot of folks are fired up on the text line. The other thing is, what's the gimmick with only interviewing defensive players and only sending defensive coaches to the combine?
What, there is no gimmick. That's where our focus is.
But I mean, but you know what? You still want to evaluate because you never know who's going to fall. To me, that's playing to the fan base and just sitting there. That's grandstanding.
You think so?
Yes, I think it's grandstanding. I think it's cheap. I think it's cheap and easy.
For me, it's exactly what I wanted. I didn't want them clowning around. But we shouldn't be viewing quarterbacks.
But as you and I always say, sometimes, you know, a tremendous talent. You're not evaluating. You're not talking offensive pieces. And all of a sudden, there's a guy that maybe falls in your lap. All of a sudden, you didn't anticipate it. To me, that's short-sighted.
Okay, Mike Bell, stop it. If they take an offensive piece, you might be back in the hospital.
Hey.
Stop it.
Well, you know what? Maybe they'll stay on the field. I like the defensive pieces they tend to draft.
Stop it right now. Question. If they draft an offensive wide receiver, you will lose your mind.
This all defense, because we know they need defense. But to me, it's just, I mean, yes, you still evaluate everybody at the combine. They're all out there for you to talk to, because you never know how it's going to play.
All right. If Luther Burden's there in the second round, you take him? There's the speed guy you've needed for years.
Oh, here you go. Now you are you serious right now?
What if he's falling in some mock drafts?
What if a great right tackle falls to you?
And
we got to upgrade from McGarry? But no, we decided we're gonna tell the fans we're gonna get serious about defense this year.
All right, we're coming back. Fourth and one's on the way. I can't believe this.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.